Okay, so the malacha of matir. So malacha of matir is the twin malacha of kosher. And for the most part, the most questions of matir can be reduced to questions of kosher, because that which you're allowed to tie, you're allowed to untie. That which you can't tie, you can't untie. That which it is biblically forbidden to tie, it's biblically forbidden to untie. Rabbinically forbidden, rabbinically prohibited, you know, etc. But there are two questions that I wanted to deal with that are unique to matir that are not found in kosher. The first question is the question of what is the goal that you need to have when you untie something in order to make it forbidden. Specifically, do you need it to be that you are untying with the intent of retying that knot? Kosher, matir amanas likshor. Is that the only time it is prohibited? Now, this seems to, or possibly, but well, this is what we're going to explore in the first sources here. This may depend on the source for matir in the Mishkan, and there are two potential sources. The conclusion of the Bavli is that we learn it out from the nets that were used to catch the chilazon. And then you had to tie and untie knots in the nets. And the simplest understanding of that is when you were tying and untying knots, you meant to untie it and retie that very knot. You were expanding the net, or you were shrinking the net, or you were getting things out of the net. But you were going to reuse the net, and therefore you were going to retie and where you untied. At least that's how Tosfos is going to take it. However, we saw that the other possibility is that kosher and matir are derived from tying the knots to the pegs of the Mishkan, tying the Mishkan itself. Now tying the Mishkan itself to the pegs. On the one hand, you might say that is the that is definitionally matir amanas likshor, because you're planning on retying it. You untie it, you move the Mishkan, and then you retie it. On the other hand, as we've seen developed slightly in the Bavli and even more so in the Yerushalmi, everything in the Mishkan gets very complicated, because since everything was done al pi Hashem, it could be that when God tells you untie, that's considered l'olam, because you don't know when you're going to retie it, just like building was considered possibly l'olam, because you didn't know when God was going to tell you to deconstruct it. And we're going to see that some of the Mefarshim are actually going to take that direction and try to prove this from the Makor in the Mishkan. So, like I said, the conclusion of the Bavli is that we learn it out from the nets. So Rashi commenting that in number one says kosher matirin shekol rishasos asuyos ksharim. All nets are made of multiple knots. Ve'inkishrei kayama, they're permanent knots. Upa'amim shatzarach litol chutin mireshazuv lo sevalzu. Sometimes you have to take rope from one and add it to another. Matir mikan v'kosher mikan. You untie here and you tie here. So, it's not totally clear what Rashi means. Does he mean that you untie here and retie in a different place, but with the same string? Does he mean that you untie one knot and tie somewhere else? It's not totally clear what he's saying. Tosos comments on Rashi, Perish Bekuntres, Kosher Matirin, Pamim Kosher as a Machmoretz, Upamim Matirim Osan. Now, when Tosfos reframes Rashi, it sounds like he thinks that you're untying and retying the same knots. It sounds that way, it's not totally clear. The Chavetz Hashem, which is the Orachayim on Shas, if you knew that he had a Perish on Shas. I didn't until Bar Ilan decided to, for some reason, add it to Bar Ilan. Now I know, and now I use it. He writes, he said, what does Tosfos say? Kavanas HaTosfos al sovil divrayim harbe. Right, there are many things that it could mean. Venira diniskam nelias shehem zalo chichu le'el beferish ha-mishnah dirashiz alis le'amenas likshor. So the way he takes it is that Rashi does not need you to tie on condition to to untie in condition to tie. Why? Because the way he reads it is not the same mikan, but that the way you expand these nets is that you untie it one place, right? And then you have these loose strings, and then the end of the string, when you want to finish making the size net that you want, you tie it there. So the knot that you untied isn't the same knot that you tied, because let's say you had a net which could hold 50 fish, and now you want one which can hold 100 fish. So the end of what you're going to do is you're going to untie the knot, and now you're going to, you know, expand it, put on a new rope. Now, you could have just said, no, he's going to, right, untie it and then tie another rope to it. But he assumes that what Tosfos thinks Rashi means, again, I'm not sure what you do with all these, do you, Kim? It means that you do not need matir almanas likshur. But he is right that the most explicit place this is discussed is not on Ayin Dalet, where you have to sort of bend over backwards to try to figure out what exactly they mean and what they don't mean, but is Tosfos in number 4 on the Mishnah, where Tosfos says as follows, a kosher v'amatir tzarech iyun. Im echai v'amatir shalom manas likshur or lower. He just asked the question straight out. Are you liable if you untie without the intent to retie? U'midelo tani lekedetani mochek almanas lichtov ein ledaktik. So he said, at first glance, you would have thought that I could prove it as follows. Many of the melachot that do require intent to reverse it, like erasing to write, the Mishnah says it. By matir, it doesn't say it. So he said, you might have thought that proves conclusively you do not need matir amanas likshur. He says, that's not true. Because we don't say it by deconstruction or destroying. We don't say you need to deconstruct the intent to reconstruct, even though it's true. But that which Rashi explains, the net case, that what you would do is you would slowly expand it. So you would untie one and then retie the way he reads it somewhere else. Mashma demechayiv below manas likshor. It sounds like you're untying the knot somewhere, one place, and retying it farther up the rope. And therefore, he's medayik from Rashi that you don't need it. When they're describing it, they talk about untying the knot in two places and then retying it at the ends, which is not where you untied it before. That you retie it where you untied it. So Tosfos takes the position that you need tying with the intent to retie, but he's medayek that Rashi thinks you don't. Right? So now this is one of those cases. It's very hard to actually parse what Rashi himself says. Let's suffice to say that there are two positions. I'm not convinced of any of these, do you, Kim? I am convinced that Tosfos thought there was a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. That much I know. Right? Tosfos was convinced. I mean, look, I gave you the Rashis, I gave you the Tosfosim. Tosfosim, you know, despite what the Chavetz Hashem said, even on the same Masechta, even on the same Daf, you never quite know whether two Tosfosim were written by the same authors. It's always possible they weren't. It's always possible he's quoting different people, so you never know, especially nameless Tosfosim. But be that as it may, what is clear is that Tosfos understands that there is a machlokes, and conceptually there are obviously two possibilities. Either you need or you do not need to untie with the intent to retie. And as Tosfos himself notes, part of that question may be trying to figure out what exactly we mean when we say matir came from the Mishkan. How do you imagine this untying of the knots in the nets, right? Are you imagining that you're untying a knot and then retying that same knot? I don't know why. Either you're retying it with an extension in the middle of it, or I don't know, you're retying it. You know, first you have to loosen it, you know, I don't know, you loosen a knot at the end, which allows you to expand it, and then you retie that knot. I'm not really sure. Or do we say that no? The point is that every net is made up of different knots, and when you expand it, you untie knots in the middle, and then you retie at the end. Yeah.
No, it's just That's not what Rashi says at all.
I told you, Rashi is very unclear, right? Rashi...
No, he's very clear, actually. Rashi is extremely
Which
clear.
One? Ayin Gimel or Ayin Dalet?
Rashi and Ayin Dalet, but the Gemara says, Shari Chad, V'Katar Chad. Right? So Rashi says, we didn't have it on the daf, but Rashi on Shari Chad, says, L'achar Rigasan, Matir Ha'echav Neshebolt in Venirin. Right? After you have woven the net, you untie one because it protrudes visibly. V'Katar Chad, which literally means you tie one, Katar is kosher, Klomar meniach kemo shehu. So this has nothing to do with untying one in order to tie another.
That's a different example.
That's a different, but that's what Tosfos is quoting.
Well, I mean, so it's, the truth is even clearer, right? In the Rush, right? He takes that Rashi that you're quoting, right?
Yeah.
Second line of the Tosfos. He says, "Lefi b'mash beirat Rashi b'gemar dimis rami trei chitrei ba'adi adadi v'shnei chudin zeitzel zeh shari chad v'katar chad mash v'chayev below amanas likshor."
But
right, that's the way he takes it. What?
I don't want to hold you up, but
like I said, I'm not sure that Rashi says this in any of the places.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I gave you multiple Rashis, and the Chavetz Chaim is also not sure, right? In fact, he says. I mean, if you look back at the end of the Chavetz Hashem, I gave you in 3, right, he challenges Rashi, right? He says, Tosfos seems to be interpreting Rashi in the way that he ascribed to Rashi before, but that's not what Rashi means, because Rashi never said what Tosfos thinks he said, right? Right at the end, right? And he said, right, that's not what I think he means. And then 6, right, he says, Right, he said, Rashi, it's not clear he needs dafka amanas. What he needs is it not to be mekalkel. Right, that's what it needs to be. Right, normally untying is just undoing. So you would think that just mekalkel, and therefore it can't be malacha. Vinami avitzarach lios lahu hetel tekanas haresish pshita lo manina demina amalas likshor. And therefore, it shouldn't be that you need it amanas likshor per se.
No,
right?
It's like what we discussed with Korea.
Right, you need it amanas litakin, right?
Not amanas likshor.
Correct. And so what you end up having, right, is 3, well, I don't know. Okay, let's outline the theoretical possibilities and give them names. Right, 3, there's really only 2 possibilities, right? Either you need matir amanas likshor dafka, or you need matir to be a tikkun. No, 3 possibilities. Or matir is always usser. Untying a knot is always usser. Tosfos ascribes to Rashi the position that you need matir amanas likshor dafka. The Chavetz Hashem ascribes to Rashi the position that you need matir shelo amanas lekalkel, so amanas letakein. Tosfos himself takes the position that you need matir shelo amanas, you don't need matir amanas likshor, but then he doesn't explain Rashi thinks... No. Tosfos thinks you need matzah amanas likshor, and he thinks Rashi thinks you don't need matzah amanas likshor at all, right? And Chavetz Hashem thinks Rashi needs matir amanas latakim, but not matir amanas likshor. Oh my God. Okay. I hate these sugyas where it's not... You're not just trying to figure out the positions. You're trying to figure out who ascribed what to who. Right? There's the theoretical positions, and then what did you ascribe to other people? The Ritva in 7... explicitly, right, it says Perish Afil Matir Shalomanas Likshor V'chein Yerab in Perish Rashi. By the way, he understands Rashi is you don't need Matir Amanas Likshor. And then he deals with this again on the Sugya on Imis Ramechada, etc., etc. I gave you that Ritva, but let's not kill ourselves more about this. But big adol, there's a lot of stuff about who holds what, but there are 3 potential possibilities. Right? Either you need matir specifically to retie, or you need matir for constructive purposes, or presumably you just need matir, and that itself is a malacha, though then you'd have to ask, why is that true? Isn't mekalkel? But the truth is not necessarily, because as we'll see later on, untying a knot is not mekalkel in the way that many other things are mekalkel, because nothing is destroyed. You're just undoing a knot, but everything is still intact. The knot isn't intact, but everything you were using is intact. What does the Rambam hold? So not totally clear. The Rambam says, "Kol kesher chayavin al ksharo, ka chayavin al hetero." But kol kesher shakosher so pater, ka chamatir so pater. Anytime you're chayav for kosher, chayav for matir. Anytime you're not chayav for kosher, you're not chayav for matir. The kol kesher shemutir lekasher, ka mutter latiro, and anything you can tie, you can untie. The Rosh Yosef is medayek, that since the Rambam says nothing about matir amanas likshor, he doesn't hold of it. Right? He says, ayin berambam, perikasiri, milchus shabbos, harezet, mashmas stam, dematir afil shal amanas likshor, chayev, akeit, lo matzati mifurash. The Rambam doesn't say explicitly, but he doesn't say that you need it, so he's medayik. That you are, so he assumes that you don't need it. The Maaser Rokeach as well. Right? He pushes the diak a little bit more. He says, it sounds like, from the Rambam, that kosher is exactly like, that matir and kosher are identical. And just like kosher, you're chayev just for tying the knot, without any other conditions attached to it. So by matir, you are chayev, whether or not you untie the knot. And then he proves it as well. And this is, I like this diuk, which is v'chein l'kamana mafrid es apsil, that we saw already last week, that the Rambam holds that you're chayev for tying a knot if you twist yarn, right? You make twine. And if you untwist. Yeah. Now in that case, there is no destruction at all, right? You're just twisting and untwisting, but it's, right, it's totally, right, there's no, right, he doesn't say you have to, if you untwist it, it's only if you decide to make it back into rope. Presumably you don't, right? If you're taking the string and you're untwisting it into its threads, you're not intending to make it back in the rope, you just want the threads again. And the Rambam doesn't say you are, right, says you're chayev for that. The Rambam, every time he talks about it, just talks about doing and undoing, not undoing for the sake of redoing, just undoing. Okay. Now, why would you need it dafka to be amanas likshor? So one possibility is to say that simply untying is basically mekalkel, and therefore the only way to call it not mekalkel is to say that you're untying with the intent to retie, and we have a high standard of what it is you need to have intent to do to remove it from the mekalkel category. The other possibility, as we've seen over and over in Melachos Shabbos, is that it's not simply we want it to be constructive, but that melachos are defined by the way they were used in the Mishkan. And perhaps in the Mishkan it was matir amanas likshor. So this is how the Chassam Sofer takes it. He says, "Kavanas atosas nira dihavi b'Mishkan matir amanas likshor dafka imkena matir shlo amanas likshor afilu yihye ha'atara tikun mikol makom kemen sheino naseh be'oso ofen jayetzrichem lo b'Mishkan avile malacha shein tzricha legufa." Right, following the position of Tosfos on Daf Tzadi Dalid, who holds that the category of malacha shein tzricha legufa doesn't mean a malacha that you're not doing for its own purpose, but a malacha that you're not doing for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan, he says the reason Tosfos cares so much of in figuring out how exactly did they tie and untie knots in the nets, in the Mishkan, when catching the Chila zone, is because Tosus thinks Malachos have to be identical to what they are in the Mishkan. And if you conclude that the way they tied the knot was that you untied the knot in order to retie it, then you would need it to retie it. If you think the way they did it was they untied one part of the net and then retied the string at a different part of the net, then you wouldn't need it. Now, we can argue from today to tomorrow which they did, but he says, conceptually, the reason that the Rishonim seem to care so much about this is because they assume that the reason you would need Matra Manas Likshor is to make it Domeh to the Mishkan. Now, the Kilas Yaakov, not the Kilas Yaakov that everybody knows, but the 157th Perush on the Rambam that Bar Ilan has put on. I don't even know who it is. Do you know who it is? Somebody. Anyways, he notes that the same type of analysis would have to be carried out within the Yerushalmi as well, regarding the tying of the Mishkan to the to the pegs, which was, as we saw, also a Havamin in the Bavli. And he writes, "Bigamara b'Periklal Goldam reading Shira b'Mishkan Echahavai Amaravish Kinkoshim b'Yisedos Hahu Kesher Shalam Almanas Lahatirhu Ikla Medak Me'adam reading Yerushalmi." He said, on the first glance, you would say, "Look, if the matir in the Mishkan was from the tying of the Mishkan to the pegs, So then we've answered our question. Because yes, the paradigm is always going to be matir amanas likshor, because you untied the attachment of the Mishkan to the peg in order to reattach it when you got to the next stage. But then he parries and said, no, that's not necessarily the case, as I mentioned before, because since we knock off literally every proof in the Mishkan from these magic words, al pi adibur, kimisha hila olam, that whenever anything was done in the Mishkan by the name of God, it's considered forever. So you could parry and say it's not true, because maybe even though you're untying it with the intent to retie it, since you don't know when you're going to retie it, that's not called having intent to retie, and therefore we would be left with the exact same suffix that Yerushalmi has by Bonet and by everything else as to how exactly we use the Mishkan as a model. So the Chacham Sofer may be right that the reason everyone cares about this is because we want the Malachos to be exactly parallel to the Mishkan, but as Kilas Yaakov notes, trying to figure out what happened in the Mishkan, and even if we know what happened in the Mishkan, how to define it, means that it's always impossible to get a straight answer at this, so we're left, therefore, with these three shito, that you don't need Amanas Likshor at all, you need Dafka Amanas Likshor, or you need Amanas Latake, and you need it to be constructive, but Lav Dafka to re-tie, and that is the first sort of machlokes in kosher. Yeah.
Matir. These discussions, both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, that they clearly knew what the parameters of kosher were, and they were trying to find an example of the parameters that they already.
Yes, sometimes yes, but not always.
Question: oh, you tied potatoes. That's not kosher for chayma. So what? Maybe we're looking in the Mishkan for the source.
Correct, and that comes back to your share at the beginning, right? Which is how much are we learning from the Mishkan? How much are we learning simply because things are significant, and the Mishkan is our hook? How much is it some mix? Right? Didn't you? Right. Is that the first year? Right. I mean, yes. I mean, this is the first. This is the
right here. Specifically, you see this.
You're correct. It's clearly true that there are certain assumptions that the Gemaras have about how the Malachos have to work, and then now is that because they had a Masorah that this was the case, and they're trying to reconstruct a Masorah, in which case it's still derived straight from the Mishkan, not from. It's just that, you know. I mean, there's two ways of taking it, right? It could be that I heard from my Rebbe that kosher needs to be l'kayama, right? Then I need to figure out, well, he didn't tell me how he knew that from the Mishkan, but it's still from the Mishkan, right? Because then you're just reconstructing a derivation, but it is actually from the Mishkan, right? Alternatively, it's no. Okay. They went to Melachas Uman first, right? This is Rav Asher's Svara, right? At first they asked the question, what is significant? Once they knew it was significant, they found a hook in the Mishkan.
But then the whole assumption that the Rishonim are chased trying to figure out Amanat Lahati or not, or Matra Amanat Likshor or not, the example in the Mishnah, isn't there a problem with that?
No, because as I said, even from the Gemara, we don't know. Meaning, the Gemara could, that's what I'm saying, the Gemara could mean one of two things. Either the parameters are derived from outside the Mishkan, or the parameters are derived from the Mishkan, but the person who knew that was some earlier generation, Tana or Amora, and the later generations in the Gemara are trying to reconstruct their Maseros, but it is derivative. Right? Meaning, it's clear that by the time the Gemara is writing, they have certain assumptions about what the Malachos have to look like, and then they try to find the hook in the Mishkan. That doesn't mean that it wasn't derivative. No. Right? That could just mean that they didn't know the derivation, and they were trying to reconstruct Masorahs that they had. Right? It's always hard to tell. Right? And if you do that, I mean, you're right. It's clear that the Gemara, by the point you get to the Gemara, they already know the conclusion, even if they don't know the source. That doesn't mean it wasn't derived from the source. It might just be that there was a loss of communication in terms of, right? Right? And this comes back to the question of what Masorahs do you think they had, they didn't have, Rambam and everybody else, and etc.
Why was there a need to go to the case of the Chalazin and the Nets?
Well, that was because that was the Maskan of the Yerushalmi. And above the Bavli.
Because
the Bavli rejected that. And the
Why?
Bavli, that was what we saw at the beginning, right? The Bavli doesn't like the derivation from the pegs, right? It likes the chilazon. Why didn't it like that? I'm too tired. It didn't like the. Why didn't it like it? It rejected it. I know the maskana was the chilazon. I don't remember why it didn't like it. What? Well, it was because it was manas latir, right? That was the rejection. Yeah, because it was manas latir. Yeah. It wasn't like kayama. It wasn't kayama. It wasn't. Because it wasn't like kayama. What?
And the clothing, the.
And then they had the third one, the third, right? They had three derivations, right?
The problem here is that there's not a lot of Gemara about matir.
Well, I mean that's only most of Cheder. Yeah, that just makes the whole thing worse. Yes.
When you talk about Amanas Likshor, is there a time frame?
They don't even discuss it, right? They don't. You know.
Time frame work on Sosyam Nas Livnos.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there is any time frame. You know, I mean, this might come down to last week. Concrete plans, not concrete plans. It sounds like, you know, there is no time, not on Matir. It sounds like that.
Yeah, because practically speaking, almost every example is usually on Manas. Short, right?
I mean, not necessarily.
Tie a shoelace, untie a shoelace.
Not necessarily. No.
You want to open a package.
Yeah, you never want to untie it. You never want to retie it.
That's about the only one. Like,
no, there's a lot of things like that.
All the subsets of that.
Okay, what I gave you here, I'm not going to read all of it, but I just gave it to you because Rugigi's summary was like, at some point, it was like, I was drawing on his analysis so much, and I also wasn't going to give this in morning. I was going to give it, record it, so I just left it for myself. Rav Gigi notes that in addition to the Mishkan Svara, I hate this chainsaw. I hate it. Okay, the jackhammer, rather. Rav Gigi notes that conceptually, there's another question that might shed light on this. And we noted all the way at the beginning that there's a fundamentally two ways of understanding Meleches Kosher. One is that it's fundamentally Meleches Chibur, that the focus of the Melacha is that you are connecting two things together. The other possibility is that it's about the knot, right? Kosher isn't about connecting. Kosher is about the creation of a knot. And Rav Gigi said that at first glance, right, you would have said that this question hangs on that question. Right? If you think that matir, if you think that kosher is about chibur, is about connecting, so then you would say, well, if it's about connecting, then maybe matir is only meaningful if it's in preparation to reconnect. But if you think that kosher is meaningful because it created a knot, then the destruction of a knot is itself a significant act. It's not about...
why does that have to be true?
Did I say that?
No, you
did
said
I get that right?
You said what
I said what he said.
I don't understand it.
But then he notes that this doesn't work because, if anything, it turns the opposite way because the Rambam... No, sorry. Did I get his analysis right? He flipped it. Right, I flipped it because to get to his conclusion.
The problem is it works
right?
both ways.
Yes, it works both ways. At
and
first,
neither one is correct.
I mean, yes, but that's what his conclusion in the end is. It doesn't. But sorry, right. This is why it flips. Right. At first, he said the opposite. Actually, right. No, at first he said the opposite. Right. Is that if it's about connecting, if it's about making a knot. So untying just destroys the knot, so maybe the only way it's meaningful is if it'll recreate a knot. Right? If it's about chibur, untying is meaningful, and right, attaching is meaningful, and detaching is meaningful. But you could have said it the exact opposite way that I said it, and he notes that in the end of the day, right, the Rambam doesn't hold Manas Likshor, even though he cares about the knot more. Right? Because this is Lishitasa, that he thinks that the Rambam in general, who requires two standards. One is permanence and Kesher Uman, which focuses on the knot, doesn't require Manas Likshor. And Rashi seems to require Manas Likshor, even though he only cares about permanence. So then Rav Gigi goes through this whole analysis, trying to flip it and saying maybe it's actually the opposite is intuitive. But yes, you know, whenever... This is my time in Rosenzweig. Rosenzweig loves doing this, right? Maybe the Chakira creates an afkamina in one direction, or it creates an afkamina in the opposite direction. The problem is if a Chakira can be made to interpret an afkamina in both directions, then the afkamina doesn't hang on the Chakira, right? They're just two Chakiras which are independent of afkaminas, and a Chakira without an afkamina may not be an a Chakira, right?
It's not a Chakira.
Well, that's Rav Aaron Feldman's old Chakira about it, was, is a Chakira without a nafka mina, not a chakira, or is it a chakira without a chalos? What's the nafka mina? Maybe there is none. No, right, that's his, right? What?
Then you're neder.
Exactly, right. Everything's neder. But if you want, Rav Gigi tries to take it through and, you know, attach the positions of the Rambam to the position of the Rambam and the Rashi to Rashi, and he gets into something we've already discussed, that it could be that even the Rambam, right, even though he has two factors, he might still think that connection is more important than the knot. He has several sources here, which he which he brings. If you just want to skip to some of his sources, because they do do point in this direction, in different directions. He notes here the Teferis Shmuel, who suggests. that you don't need almanas likshor for a very simple svara, which is untying, and this is something I mentioned earlier. Untying is not destructive, right? It's very nice to say it's makalkal, it's just not, right? He says it's not like so sera korea. Korea is ripping, mater is untying. We all understand this, that when I untie my shoelaces, I didn't destroy the shoelaces, as opposed to when I rip my shirt, I did something destructive. So he just says the reason that you might not need almanas likshor is because the whole assumption seems to be the reason you need almanas likshor is because matir is destructive. But he said, who said untying is destructive? It's not. It just undid a knot. That's all it did. That's not a destructive act, definitionally. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says as well. He says, "Dezeu hefresh ben korea devadai hu kilkul." He said, "Tearing is kilkul. L'chein tzarich almanas lid for." That's why it needs to be restitched, conditioned to restitch. Much enkin b'matir. Hadar asra v'etikin said, "No, it's the opposite. Untying is helpful, right? If your shoelace is stuck and you can't get your foot out of your shoe, when you untie your shoelaces, you don't say, 'Oh, I've destroyed the knot.' You say, 'I've freed my foot,' right? The untying, there's a constructive element to it. That's the beauty of knots, that knots can be tied and untied. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Teferis Shmuel say, this whole analysis is really misplaced. The reason that, presumably, the halacha, you don't need almanas likshor dafka, is because the whole assumption seems to have been that you needed it because you thought it was destructive. But who said it's destructive? Right? It's not. Untying is a constructive act. Just because you call it un, right? You call it is undoing, so therefore it's destructive? No. And the truth is that in Hebrew, right, it's not un. Right? There's no un. It's kosher umatir, right? There's no implication. In English, there's an implication that untying is merely the undoing of a knot, right? But in Hebrew, there is no such implication.
Which is in theory supposed to be permanent.
Correct. Then it is destroying that. But the point was that you intended not to, and now you're changing your mind. You need it to be untied. Right? I mean, that's both ways it's constructive. Right? Is that you
then
meant for it to be...
Really kayama, but that's
well, it was, because you meant it to be kayama.
Because you don't know when Hashem was going
to
move.
The Mishnah Sri Rabbi Akiva Eger just phrases it very differently. This is sometimes, I don't know what it adds, but he's right that this is how you frame it. I don't know, whatever, I'll just read it, right? If you go to the next indented point, he says, near the Savik Atosus, imatir sholmanas likshor chayev, hainu didn't stop ku beikir geder melechas matir, iika malacha mesuyim bifinyatma sholumuros matir, or the emet matir bifinatsu lav shem malacha have. Yes. The question is matir independently important, or is it not? Ve'ein umuros mesuyim shal matir, and there's no... one second. Oh, I hate this. Okay. Fine. Could be days, could not be days. Thanks. That was very helpful. Imkain. I lost my place there. The Enumenos Mesuyim Shal Matir. He said the suffix is Matir independently significant, or is it only significant insofar as is the reversal of Matir, of Kosher? Thank you. That is a restatement in more formal language of the question. Fine. But like I said, that's question one of whether you need Almanas Likshor Lehalacha. The bare halacha takes the middle position. This is the top of the next page, which is that he assumes that matir is considered destructive, and therefore he does require it to be constructive, but not amanas likshor dafka. Where he writes, the aftim name the minim bezadum the mishkan alogam bekorea the isa bemishna behedim in amanas litfor mishum the mishkan. And he said, even by Korea, which we say is Amanas lit for, we end up saying that as long as it's constructive, it is Chayev. And therefore, the Ber Halacha sort of compromises and he says, look, even the people who said that you need matir almanas likshor don't mean it. I'm not sure that's true. But lahalacha, he takes the middle position, that you need matir almanas litakein. But what I think the Aruch HaShulchan and the Fer Shmuel really point out is that that may include every case of untying. Because pretty much every time you untie, you did that for a reason. So once you recognize that untying is different than ripping, and it's usually or often constructive in nature, even if you paskin like the, you formulated the way the Ber Halacha does, that you need matir almanas likshor, you need matir almanas latakein, that may include almost every case of untying. Maybe not everyone, right? Maybe sort of mindless untying for fun would not be d'oraisa, right? You're just fiddling with a knot and you end up untying it, or you untie for fun. I guess, according to Ber Halacha, that wouldn't be d'oraisa, though it might still be d'rabbanan. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that would be d'oraisa. That's about the only nafka min I can think of between them. But despite that, much ink has been spilled on this, that's that. Okay, second halachic issue that is unique to matir is the question of nituk. Is cutting the string such that the
destroy it.
So that you just you destroy the connection or cut the knot to destroy the knot, right? Those are two different possibilities. Is that considered untying or not? Is that better, worse? What is it? So this starts in a Maharshal, in Yom Shel Shlomo, which Rugigi quotes right here. It's all the indented. He says, "Haktonet chasuya bo ritzuit lekoshro vinit kasher." If you have a shirt, garment that's made to be tied, it has strings to tie, and it gets tied. Shlo yachal lahatir. Now you can't untie it. Yachal lenatka lekule alma. You can cut it for, according to everybody. Shaharei eino asui el lahatiro b'chol zman shirotze. But then he qualifies, because you meant it's made to be untied. The avze lo yazvnei amaretz el yelch v'tzina v'yase. But you shouldn't do this in front of an Am Haaretz. Now, what's the mashmaus? So Rugigi notes, mashman advarm shegidrei nitok ritzuos shenikshuru kegidrei matir. It sounds like, that's not 100% clear, that the Maharshal thinks the reason you're allowed to cut this knot is because you could untie it. You're just having difficulty untying it. But you are allowed to untie it. Which implies that he thinks that nituk is equivalent to matir, such that you can only be menatek when you can be matir. Shekol kesher shemutter latiru b'shabes mutter l'natko v'meino yochal latiru b'vad shel yazakin b'fnei ma'aretz. But you shouldn't do it in front of ma'aretz shel yomudu lasos ken gamba makom aser, because then they'll end up doing when it's aser. And that's how the Taz took it. Right, this is the next indent. Aval riva oser l'natko hainu dafka b'tfira aval b'kshira she'omed lahatir zakesher el she'ino yochal latiru b'yado pshita d'shari l'natko. He said, it's usher to cut off the knot. That's only if something that you aren't allowed to untie. But if you can untie it, it's just you're having difficulty doing it, then you can be menatek it. Again, the implication being, the reason you can be menatek is because you can be matir halachically, right? Physically, you can't. Magen Avram adds, "Mikom Vakom nearly the main rogel lahatir kesher shaktonet el mishabes l'shabes aser." But if it's the type of thing that you don't normally untie from week to week, then you also can't cut the knot, because again we apply the same standards of matir to nituk. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'main a rogel lahatir kesher shaktonet el mishabes l'shabes aser l'natik kimod aser lahatir u'mikom Vakom u'dart golasos aniva l'chavon anikshar dino kekesher shaser lahatir b'chol yom." Again, we apply the standards of matir to nituk. So I have two big sfeikot here. One is that the whole thing is very weird. And this is what the Aruch HaShabbos is going to note. That conceptually this whole thing, and Rugigi notes it as well, the whole thing is very strange. Because to the extent that we think that tying is about knots and untying is about knots, so nituk isn't untying, right? So it's weird. The second thing, and this, for some reason, the Achronim don't clarify this enough, and it drives me nuts. There are two very different things you can mean when you say nituk. One is cutting the string such that the knot is irrelevant, and the other is cutting the knot, right? Cutting the knot, I sort of understand where the Yom Shel Shlomo is coming from. But many of the poskim seem to assume that we're talking about both cutting the knot and cutting the connection, right? Which is not where the knot is, which is making the knot ineffectual even though you're leaving the knot in place. My guess, and this seems to be the simple shot in the Marshal, and honestly, there's nothing that tells me this is not true in the Taz or the Magen Avraham or the Mishnah Brura, is that the only case that it's Usher's where you cut the knot itself.
We saw it by Correa.
Correct.
Because no one had a problem of
correct
when it came to cutting the string.
Correct. And so that's my proof. So if you want to skip to it, my proof that that's probably what the Mishnah Brura meant and the Magen Avraham and everybody is that the only time there's even a suffix is when you cut the knot, not where you cut the string, is the case of. Well, is the case of the Chosala Shel Tamarim, right? Because Chosala Shel Tamarim, we already know that we said it's mutter, right? You're allowed to cut the string, right? Which is presumably, so my guess...
So you take the Rambam's view there, that it's actually cutting the leaf.
No, so I'm saying, so according to the Be'er Halacha, right? So this is, if you remember, this is it's 18, 19, and 20, right? Mutter lafkir lachal kishrei ha-shvud, shekosher betleo b'of atzluyim, right? There was the chosalos case in Ches, and then there was a case in Tes of cutting the tie around the birds, right? And the Mishnah Berurah says, the psikas ha-chut mutter b'davar talosh chanal, ve'en v'en v'shum alechaz mechatech, she'enu makbet al midah, this is not mechatech, because we're poskim, ke'ejim lechatechos golos, yisur rak midah be'sover, m'shum uv d'dechol, m'vekeh lechatechos kanal chai m'shum tochein, ve'makbet al midah, chai m'shum mechatech, hafil lechatechos golos, right? He gets into mechatech, but he never says it's matir, because it's nituk. Right, and then the Be'er Halacha on the Chosal Shel Tamarim in 20, he says, Chosal Shel Tamarim v'soshes arsu l'chevel, chenu lashon ha-tur, v'u perish al-masha amar sham b'gemara, mafkiya v'chen perish rashi sham, ayim echlushev rekevi eger, shen nishar al-zebet tzorach iyun, meha dehevi ha-mogen avram, v'sof shem shen zayin, v'shem ha-rambam, da-pol shel chavolem chay mishum kosher, v'sos chay mishum matir, v'avtu soser shomanoaz livnos, yeh al-kopanam asum idir ha-baran, du soser keshel shel kayama. Fine. Let's just skip down. Yeah, okay, so let's go to where it gets the brackets. And he says, Ein Shayach Lasser Machmas Korea Gufa, right? Ripping open the packages can't be Korea. Do also me drabon. Nafil Lubishalom and Aslit for the Ein Shayach Shamze Elabikrias Abega the Shayach Ba Korea. I'm not lit for Lachi Gazrabon, Afil Shalom and Aslit for Mashen Kain Bezet because you only have Korea. By begotten, but not by strings. Uchein these to b'shabbos, and then he goes and improves it.
Straps or something, I don't know.
What?
This whole thing started with they were...
Yeah, the straps are there on the Tamarim, yeah.
No, not on the Tamarim.
This is Chosal Tamarim. So this is the Chosal Shel Tamarim. Now he's comparing it to Chosal Shel Tamarim, right? And then he quotes Chaynis b'Shabbos Mibloy Mechzin Se Kohanim Mehemneim Eu Madlikin Umehen Hayu Mafkiin Sheperusho Sham Shayu Korin Moshe Perish Rashi Sham Aval Lister Gdeil Zachevel Emel Chad Aser Vubuchal Matir Kesher Shel Kayama. But he says if you're going to destroy the Gdeil Zachevel, right, the actual
the weave of it,
yeah, the weave of it. So he said that is matir because that's posel, that's the reverse of posel chavalim, which I think proves the fact that presumably when people said nituk is usur, to the extent that it's usur, they only mean when you destroy the knot, right? Just like here, he says, when is it usur by a knot? You destroy the weave because that's posel
the braiding.
That's the reverse of posel chavalim, right? Of the twining of the string, and therefore ostensibly. I would say that even though, yeah, they all say nituk is usur, what I assume they mean is that nituk might be usur if you're just cutting the knot itself. But if you're cutting the string, then it's just makalkel, right? And therefore it is mutter. If you skip the way to the end, though, even accepting the chiddush of the Yamshur Shlomo is mechudash, and this is what the Yerucha Shabbos says. Right? He says, "Kazva achorn mekol kesher shemutzer latira mutzer lenatko kshut sarach lakach im eino yachal latira." Right? Any knot that you can be untie, you can destroy, you can remove. The ein lazuzot meyam aris kedei shulav lahakel yoser misbar medivrei min dvarim elu de kesher shasur lahatira kagon chenikshel lizman beinoni asur gam lenatko lechora kavana bazesh asur natik es chivlei akshira Av she'eino pogea klal b'makom ha'kesher. Right? So he reads, he said, he thinks that most acharonim say not what I just said. That it's usher to tie, to cut the string, even not where the knot is. The gambu lezu b'cham leches matir. Now, conceptually, Rav Gigi notes this, and this seems to be obvious though, is the only way to justify this shita is if you think kosher is only about connection. Because then the fact that I cut the string and it deconnects it, right, it, whatever, unties it, it makes it no longer connected, even without untying
separates.
It. Separates, thanks, that's a word. So that's the only way to justify it. But even there, it seems very weird, because this doesn't seem to be a simple read of the Acharonim. The Acharonim are comparing Nituk to Matir. The only way to do that is if you're focusing on the knot. If you're focusing on the string, it doesn't seem to be right. Now, within that understanding, he says, I don't understand why this should be true. And he says, Chidush Zishol, Yam Jor Zomitz, Archiyin V'Karo. L'chorek Shem Shem Lechaz Machsheves Shel Kosher, He Etzem Akshira, Kem Yisdav Shem, Lach U'matir, U'izuk Batar Zakesher. Ach Minolan Da Lasser Zachito Chachot, Shablo Mavakum Akesher. He says, how does he know that...
Here's how you can do it. Here's how you can do it. If you go back to your list of Vernai Malachos, you have a series of three sets of two. Right? Oreg and Potseya, Kosher right. And Matir, and Topher and Korea. They each create, if you want to look at it the way the Amshar Shalom was, but connections of a different type. In other words, in an Oreg case, the two things that you're joining together are really just side by side and held in place by the cross weave. Right? The two threads are going in this way, and they're held in place by the fact
you know, of course. I mean, what you would have to say is that it's only about connection in just three different
but
ways.
About connection, but exactly. And therefore,
and they're
removing
wrong.
The type of connection made
correct.
By the Kesher is what I'm doing, even if I do nothing to the knot itself.
Correct. So this is my big sfeiko here, okay? Is that Nituk, the Amshar Shlomo says Nituk is a problem. Now, it's not clear to me why Nituk is a problem at all. But to the extent that he says it, the easiest way of understanding, and again, I don't think anything in the Taz, Magen Avraham, or Mishneh Berurah indicates that they don't mean this. They seem to, I would say they only mean Nituk is a problem if you cut the knot itself. The Orchos Shabbos says no, Nituk is usur even when you detach the rope somewhere else. Now, I have, again, a few problems with that. One is the conceptual problem, which is in order to justify that, you have to take a hard position that kosher and matir are only about chibur and not about knots, right? Which you could do, but you'd have to take that. That's the conceptual problem. The textual problem is, I don't know why he's convinced that this is what they mean. I mean, the only way I can assume that he thinks this is true is because maybe he thinks the Marshal would say that you don't want to destroy your clothes, so he assumes what you're doing is you're tying it not at like the fancy knot. I don't know why you're cutting the string on your clothes. I can't imagine this isn't destructive. I don't know what exactly this is.
Saying cutting the string, most of them would say it's not good.
So the Orchos Shabbos.
Because we learned the other way.
So here's what you get. The Orchos Shabbos interprets the majority of Achronim as saying that cutting even not b'makom hakesher is usur.
Right.
If you ask me, I would have said that the simple read of the Yamshel Shlomo Taz, Magen Avraham, and Mishneh Berurah is that it's only a problem when you're cutting the knot itself. The raya is that the Mishneh Berurah himself, when talking about the chosala shel tamarim, says it's mutter. Where there it's clear it's not about the knot. You're just cutting the string. And he says it's fine. There's only korea by beged, not by rope. But if you thought that nituk was matir, then what does it help you that it's not korea? It's not korea, but it is matir.
I mean, he doesn't think anybody but the Yamshel Shlomo says this. It's funny because he writes Kasva Achronim, but his Ha'ara is just the Amshel Shlomo.
Correct, but I assume what he. But at any rate, but it's everyone
but
who follows the Amshel Shlomo. So what would you say la halacha? So I'm not really sure, right? The Orchos Shabbos says, I don't understand my understanding of the Amshel Shlomo, but the Achronim say it, and therefore I tell you have to be Machmir. Right? That's what he says. You asked me, I would have said, Pashtus in the Achronim is they say, no, you're allowed to cut the string. You're just not allowed to cut the knot. And the truth is, Rabbi Ribiat in 21 does take this position. And he says, Dekesh Shukarim also lahatiro. He said that which the Mishnah Berurah says, that under certain circumstances it's better to untie than to cut, that doesn't contradict his argument that that cutting is always fine. He said if something is untieable and mutter to untie, so untie it. Barak mechadesh the mutter that should be mutter the mutter nakam and yachalatiro. Shein lasus kain lifnei amaret. Aval kanim also kesh yoshka kayama midaito ubechavana bivade aser latiro. But other tefillin not go. He said, look, if it's a kesher shel sheino shel kayama that you're allowed to untie, so cutting it looks more aser. Right? That's what the Yamshur Shlomo said. Don't do it in front of an Amaretz. It's mutter, but it looks usser. So if you can untie it. Because, well, I don't know what this means. It looks more usser. But he says it looks more usser. Okay, fine. But Rabbi it said, but if it's actually a Kesher Shel Kayama, which is usser to untie, and you need to untie it, so don't untie it, cut it. Because Nitog is not Matir. And he says, "Umakom deles chashem mishum korea or makav patish." Assuming there's no case of korea or makav patish, it's mutter. V'nitok achudo mashiach ein bo malacha. There is no malacha nitok. So Rabbi Riviat seems to have read it more the way I read it. Right. So the Orcho Shabbos takes the Yom Shur Shlomo to mean that that detaching things is usur. The Rabbi Riviat seems to take it the way I read the Mishnah Berura, which is that no. Detaching, cutting a string is mutter. Maybe should be avoided if you can untie simply for optics concerns. But fundamentally, the only way that the Yom Shur Shlomo seems to make any sense is if nituk is happening on the knot itself, because then it is at some level parallel to put mut there. Because then it's parallel to matir. If you look at the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in 15, he weighs in a bit and he writes, "Asur lafit chod barzel seret plastic b'shulei hasakit." Right, he thinks you're not allowed to use the twist ties. The chinazov toa chod melufav shekazet, nor can you untie. Velchein sakit askura b'chod shekazet. Hadov yisrael ishtadel shacher el sakit b'li lahatir lo nategir achod. He said it's better if you can to neither untie or destroy the rope. But if you can't do it, such as it's very, very tight, so either you can undo it. If you're going to do it, if in a case when it's mutter, so do it, but do it destructively, right? Because then it's only going to be mekalkel, and it'll be mutter. Okay, the last source I want to do here is, let's just look at the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish also weighs in on this. So the Chazon Ish in 17 writes as follows: Matirin beis atzavar afilu kvar niftach. Ikar de milsa de nituk habeged derech hashchasa mutter. Right, the Chazon Ish as well takes the position like Rabbi Riviat does, that nituk is mutter. Kamoshe shover chavis. His proof is just like I can destroy the chavis, litol. Well, grogros, because gimel slash is the normal notriket for grogros. Exactly, gimel slash is now grogros. Kamoshe korin or shalvia chavis, and you're allowed to rip the leather that is holding in that's on top of the barrel. V'chemin she'ein kavanaso achshav rak kadei shiuchol lulav show ein hazeh shem soser. If it's the way it's normally used is to untie it, so it's not makav patish. And if you put in the effort to be matir or to be menatek, right? So right, if you have to put an effort, so then it might be like breaking it. He said, if it's totally sealed, and then you unseal it, so then it's a different problem. It's magav patish. Marshal shevi magen afram. He said that marshal shen it's kashu a meshichos mutul in natkan. Hainu sheinu yochel latir and aval omdin latir and velo natkan. Shem se mutm chashi yatiran aval omed lenito gzeu dino. The Rabbi Yerucham Shevi Rama Magen Avram the Matir Mishabes the Shabbos Asur Mashmar the Ratzalomer the Asur Natkan Veina Muvan. He said the Rama seems to sort of imply that you can't untie in a case where you can't be menatik and can't untie. Veina Muvan. I don't know why. Come on, I'm a nituk. He said every nituk is always destructive. Lo Maka Patish Lo Bona. Kevin Shetashmishu B'Kshir V'Hatara. So the Chazon Ish also understands that there may be positions in the world who believe that cutting the rope somewhere is usur, but he himself doesn't understand it. And it sounds like, honestly, that the Chazon Ish is making even on cutting the knot itself, right? Because he says, I don't understand, you're right, it may be the same as matir, but it's mekalkel matir, so even cutting the knot itself should be mutir, right? So he's at least, you know, it's never clear with the Chazon Ish if he's poskening conclusively this way, or just pointing out this should be the case. But the Chazon Ish usually is willing to at least to say what he wants. So what you end up getting is on this nituk question. So as we noted, there are two possible scenarios of nituk. One is cutting the knot itself. One is untying the string. The range of positions that you have are, the Orchos Shabbos interprets the Yamshel Shlomo as meaning that it is usur to cut the string, even not where the knot is, which A, means that he thinks kosher is just about connection and not about knots. He's not convinced this is true, but it's how he reads the Yamshel Shlomo, and Lechumra paskins that way. So that's all the way at one extreme. The Chazon Ish, at the opposite extreme, says that he thinks, at least conceptually, nituk is mutter, presumably even of the knot itself. Because even if you think that when you cut the knot itself, it's the equivalent of matir, regular matir may not be derech kilkul, coming back to our first half of shir. But matir via nituk, right, cutting the knot in half such that the string falls apart, is clearly a matir which is kilkul. So even if a normal matir is not mekalkel, matir li de nituk is, and therefore the Chazon Ish himself seems to be noted that cutting a knot, even the knot itself, is mutter lichatchila, even though he seems to hesitate because he knows the Rambam may not think this, but he thinks conceptually it should be mutter even to cut the knot itself. And then you have what I think is what the Mishnah Brura believes, and what the Yom Shor Shlomo probably means, and the Magen Avraham the Taz, and Rabbi Ribi had postulated this way, as well, is to say that we take the middle position, that we should be machmir, if possible, to not cut the knot, because cutting the knot may be the equivalent of matir, but cutting the string to make the knot irrelevant is just chosal shel tamarim, which is considered makalkal and therefore is mutter. And therefore, if you have your cake and you have the string, right, and you can't untie the string because it's keshel shekayam, it's a tight knot or whatever it is, right, they didn't manage to make a bow, they accidentally tied it into a real knot. So I think what is Yotze from Mishnah Berurah, from the Chazon Ish might say you can even cut it at the string. Mishnah Berurah says, okay, cut it, you know, if you want to be Yotze kol hadeis, just cut it next to the string. The Orchos Shabbos seems to say that's still usur, right? Next to the knot. I mean, somewhere else on the string, right? And that'll allow you in. That seems to be the Derech HaMelech, I think, in this sugya, right? You have the extremes of both sides. The Orchos Shabbos who thinks it's usur to cut the string, and the Chazon Ish who seems to think it's usur to cut the knot, it's mutter to cut the knot itself. The Derech HaMelech from the Yom Shlomo, Taz, Magen Avram, Mishnah Bura, Rabbi Ribiat, seems to be that maybe avoid cutting the knot, but as long as you cut it along the string, because we believe that kosher and matir aren't just about connection, there is some significance to the fact that there is a knot here, as long as you do it somewhere else in the string and just make the knot irrelevant, presumably that's not a problem of matir, it's simply mekalkel, and therefore it is going to be mutter. Okay, and those are the two issues, as I said, that are unique to matir, that are not fully kesher, so I guess, and that is... Yes.